Good morning and welcome to Community Conversations. We were missing the morning show and we think many of you were too. This is not a replacement, but it is what we're doing at this time of COVID to bring local voices to light for our listeners. These are recorded interviews lasting about 30 to 40 minutes right here on KRFY 88.5 FM. We broadcast them on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m. We are recording this show, and so please do check any details that are in it for their accuracy as you hear it. This is not a replacement for the morning show, but we do continue, we want to continue to bring timely topics to our community. We are using new technology, Zoom, at least new to some of our participants. And so if you hear glips in the conversations due to an internet fade in, fade out, just bear with us. Today, I'm one of your hosts, Phil Huff, and I'm joined by my regular co-host, Julie. Welcome back, Julie.
Yes, I'm returned, Phil. Hello, and I'm glad to be back.
Was the fishing good? I assume you went fishing.
I did go fishing. I went fishing with my hubby, friends, and my brother from Minneapolis, who was able to leave Minneapolis at a relatively opportune time, I would say. And the fishing was so-so, but the weather was beautiful. Well, so happy to be back.
Always better. A day out in the boat's always better than at work.
So true.
So let's launch into our guests today. Today is our annual summer camp show, and we're delighted to be joined by a couple of longtime morning show participants. We have Cami Murray, the Outreach and Development Coordinator for Kinnexu Land Trust. Good morning, Cami.
Good morning.
And along with us, we have also Tim Kokoran, co-founder and co-director of the Twin Eagles Wilderness School. Good morning, Tim.
Hey, Phil. Great to be here.
Yeah. So before we launch into the topic of the day, which is summer camps, let's let the listeners get to know a little bit more about each of you. So why don't we start, Cami, with you. Tell us a little bit about your role at Kinnexu Land Trust, how you came to be there, and what your passion is around all of this work.
Thanks, Phil. So I started with Kinnexu Land Trust about 3.5 years ago, sort of just supporting the, what we were at the time calling the Park RX program, which encouraged health through time spent outdoors. And over that intervening couple years, my role's really morphed. I wear a lot of hats in our office, including outreach and communications, development, fundraising, and sort of anything else that needs to get taken care of. One of those roles is sort of the logistics behind the scenes wizard for our summer camp, Camp Kinnexu. So I manage registration and scholarships. I get our t-shirts going and I make sure that we have food. And so that's kind of my role. And I'm just really passionate about the outdoors. I'm a local girl. I grew up here in Sandpoint and spent a lot of time skiing, hiking on the lake growing up. And I'm super passionate about getting our kids out to experience those same things. Those were so formative for me. And I really want to make sure that every single child in our community has an opportunity to experience that same joy of being in nature, because it is so crucial to being a healthy, well-adjusted human.
What a great attitude and what a way to describe yourself, Cami. And I noticed you're wearing a t-shirt, so tell us about that for listeners who can't see you.
So I'm wearing our brand new Camp Kinnexu shirt. It features sort of a similar design to our past shirts, which you may have seen. It's got a compass on it. We actually use that for the kids to help orient themselves as they're learning their directions on the property. Okay, look at your shirt. All right, that's the direction. And then it's got an otter on it, which is in honor of our education director, whose nature name is Cheerful Otter.
So cool.
They're pretty cool shirts.
Good way to learn about you and see you via Zoom. Tim, tell us a bit about your background and how you came to be at Twin Eagles.
Sure. So, my wife, Janine Tidwell, and I founded the school in 2005. So that's what, 15 years now. And at this point, we're still a smaller family-run business. My wife and I still, to this day, 15 years later, are co-directors for the school. We exist really to help support this vision of reconnecting the human beings back to the natural world and support, all of the benefits that come with that, from body, mind, heart, spirit, the full gamut. And, this is a big part of my deep calling in life. It's deep, spiritually fulfilling work for me to connect people with nature. We do youth programs as well as adult programs year round. And absolutely committed to reconnecting people here in the Inland Northwest back to the natural world.
It's always nice to hear entrepreneurs who have a vision and act them. Tell us just a little bit more about the epiphany, the moment of insight that led you and Janine to enter into this.
Oh gosh. Yeah. Well, so I'm 46. I just little background. I grew up in the 80s, right? Back then, what was it? We had like three channels on TV and there was maybe like one good show a week on. Other than that, we ran wild in the neighborhood woods. And you know, things have really changed since then, right? I'm sure you two can relate. We live in a world where that's not the case anymore. And so for me, when I was in 20 years ago, when I was in my early mid 20s, you know, I'd always had a real draw, and I'm not even sure why, but I've always had a real draw towards indigenous cultures, toward and Native Americans in particular. So after college, I actually went out and had a friend living on the Navajo Indian Reservation in Arizona and moved out there just to be with the people and experience a different way of life. You know, I had somewhere in me, I knew that indigenous cultures had some wisdom that I really believed we as modern Americans could really learn from. That sent me on a long path, and I got involved in other wilderness schools that were started at the time and had the honor of working with a number of traditional Native American teachers and elders, and got involved in some old ceremonies, including the Vision Quest, you know, which is the classic experience of fasting and praying in the wilderness for 4 days and four nights. And during that time, you know, life came alive for me in a deep, deep way, and I was able to reflect and see that my best moments of renewal, my biggest moments of renewal always happened, consistently happened when I was out there connecting deeply with the natural world and through the power of mentoring, right? That it wasn't enough to just be out there, but that when I had mentors who they themselves had formed a deep connection with nature, who could guide me into a deeper connection to the natural world outside of me as well as my own inner nature, that's when I was most fully alive. And so that was deeply transformational for me, impacted me in really significant ways. And I really saw at that time, you know, this is what I want to dedicate my life to, is to reconnecting people back to the natural world so that their best selves can come forward. And that maybe that will be my contribution to bettering our world.
And so how does that segue into your work at Twin Eagles? Did part of that experience shape the mission of the Wilderness School?
Yeah, absolutely. So we spent my wife and I spent 5 years in a traditional apprenticeship studying with a wilderness school in Vermont, as well as a handful of Native elders that were connected with that organization. And after really giving that everything we had, that was like a master's level training, right? We set out and we knew we wanted to start a wilderness school. I knew we wanted to be out west, but we weren't quite sure where. So we had a big epic adventure. This was summer of, I think, 2004, visiting all the little towns out west. We knew we wanted to be in a small town out west. And Janine actually grew up and was born in Idaho. And so, you know, that was... we had an inkling that there might be something here, but I remember coming across the Long Bridge and yeah, it was like a late September afternoon in 2004 and the storm had just blown through. The sun was beginning to go down and this big rainbow appears, right? With the end right on the town of Sandpoint. So the angels sang in that moment, right? We knew we had come home this is where we started the school. That was 2005. We started really small. We just had a little program for homeschooled kids running one day a week. And that first summer, I think we had, I don't know, seven kids in our one summer camp, right? But we've steadily grown ever since. And now, 15 years later, we serve, I don't know, close to 300 individuals a year. But the numbers are less important. And I know environmental ed organizations oftentimes tout numbers, and that's good, you know, to look at that. But I think what's more important is how deeply we're reaching people. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd rather reach a smaller number of people in a deep way than superficially reach a larger number. So that's a big part of our commitment is those mentoring relationships.
Well said. And we want to get to the summer camps, but I also feel like we should step back towards Kinnexu Land Trust and talk more about KLT's genesis story. I know, Cami, you can share that and a bit about how it came to be about its vision and where it's evolved too, because KLT has really evolved over the last 15 years as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so KLT was founded in 2002, so we're coming up on 20 years. And originally we were sort of the environmental mitigation arm of the Avista settlement, which helped protect bull trout habitat on the Bull River as part of Avista's dams. You know, federally they have to mitigate the impact they're having on fisheries. So KLT came into being to help protect those bull trout habitats. And over the last 17 years, we've really grown to a full service land trust. We protect not only, continue to protect bull trout habitat, but we also protect working farms, ranches, timberlands, scenic views, and places to play outside. So that's sort of been our growth. We really recognized about 5 years ago now that simply protecting land really isn't enough. We have to come up with ways to connect people back to the land so that they understand the value of conserving it. So that was when we really reached out into what we call community conservation, which really focuses on communication and outreach, outdoor recreation and education to connect people back to the land, like Tim was saying, and really show people the value of the beauty that we have all around us. And that led to our education work, which happens in school and out of school. So we have classroom experiences that happen at most of our local elementary schools, as well as working as part of the outdoor track at Clark Fork Junior Senior High School. And so we serve about 3,000 kids a year through our in-school and out-of-school education programs, which include not only Camp Kinnick-Sue, but also Wildcrafting, which is our after-school program that focuses on traditional crafts and handiwork and connecting with nature, which is really hard to do in activities. And then, yeah, Camp Kinnick-Sue is sort of our signature piece that, again, yeah, focuses on nature connection, exploring the world around you. And then we're really excited now that we have Pine Street Woods, we're really going to be able to open up our adult education piece. Pine Street Woods, for those people who don't know, is our 160 acres off of West Pine Street that's got trails. It's got a recreation center that has cross-country ski and snowshoe rentals during the winter time, and we're working on new trails this summer. So if you get a little lost up there, it's because we're building new trails, and so we don't have great signage yet. But it's been really amazing. I was actually just up there taking a run, and there were mountain bikers and walkers and people with their dogs, and it just makes me really happy to see how much our community's embraced that place to go play outside.
It's really something, Kinnick-Sue Land Trust, to have been able to combine your mission of conserving and protecting land through purchase or easements with this education arm, and then along with a preserved area, Pine Street Woods, that's open to the public and the folks of Sandpoint. It's really kind of all coming together for Kinnick-Sue Land Trust, isn't it?
Yeah, it really, it's really fortuitous how it all works the way it needs to.
So it's
wonderful.
Great
to, well,
it's great to get the background on all your organization's work and stuff. And we want to get to summer camps, but I think before we can talk about summer camps this year, we need to deal with the COVID elephant in the room, so to speak. How has the pandemic impacted both your organizations and operations? And since Cami, you were just speaking, maybe we'll start with you.
Yeah, so we've been really fortunate in that because so much of our work happens outside or in our very small office, that we've been able to continue working pretty normally. We spent a couple months all working from home, which was definitely an adventure and an adjustment. But fortunately, our conservation work has continued because a lot of that can happen over the phone, via email, on site visits where we can be 6 feet apart. And then as we started to look forward, you know, we have had to cancel some of our events that we'd planned for the spring and the summer, which is always a big bummer. Our big one was sort of the week before we all went on lockdown. We were planning to have a gathering to talk about otters at the Panada Little Theater that we canceled the morning of the event because we couldn't risk putting, you know, 75 people in a small space for, you know, an hour for a presentation. So it's definitely been an adjustment to figure out how to do my work specifically. Outreach and communications are really different in this time. So I kind of let my life just go the way the river's taking me and communicate as feels appropriate at the time. It's definitely been interesting, but we do all feel very fortunate to be able to let our work continue pretty normally, with the exception of being at home and having our staff meetings on Zoom instead of in person.
Sure. And Tim, how about your organization? How is Twin Eagles managing during COVID?
Yeah, so pretty similar to you, Cammie. It was mid-March when things really started coming down heavy. So we canceled a few programs. I think we had a spring break camp that we canceled, and then we rescheduled a few programs that were scheduled for April, May. I had a father-son wilderness program that I run every year. I postponed that to the fall. But there wasn't much, right? Usually we're pretty busy in the springtime. This year was a little bit of a fluke, and we just didn't have that many programs scheduled. So that was fortuitous. We do have a monthly program for kids where we meet once a month, and we actually rescheduled that on Zoom. So for the first time, we adapted it and created a Zoom-based program where we'd meet with the kids for like an hour on Zoom in the morning, send them off on a big adventure, and then come back to Zoom in the afternoon. Really cool story was I'm a father as well. I've got two sons, and they're both in our programs, and we live up by MacArthur Lake. And so for the adventure time there, we went out to go exploring. And that day, for the first time ever, I've been doing this work a long time, for the first time ever, we found an active coyote den, right? And I peeked in there, and out of the darkness, this little two little beady eyes come out and looking at me. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's a coyote pup, it's a coyote pup. So we watch it crawl out the back doorway. We come back that night, set up a trail cam, come back 2 weeks later and caught video footage of the mom coming in and actually coming out of the den, followed by, if you can believe this, 10 coyote pups, the cutest little things, you know, with the big heads. And they're still kind of learning how to walk, and they're walking all funny. It was the cutest thing. But we took that as a real sign, a real synchronicity that, you know, hey, we can still do this work and connect people to nature, even over Zoom. So we did that for a couple of months. And then, you know, and then of course there was the big question mark, gosh, are summer camps going to run? Are they not? But with Idaho moving on to phase 3, we're positioned well here. So yeah, we had we've been doing plenty of Zoom meetings as well with staff, but overall the impact has been pretty low given that we didn't have that many programs that this spring, and that we're able to pull off summer camps this year. Yeah.
That's a great segue with Idaho opening up, and we're here to talk about your summer camp offerings. Both Twin Eagles and KLT are moving forward with summer camps. So tell us about what's happening, what your summer camps look like, and let's dive into a little bit more of a description of it. And again, Tim, since you're online, let's tee you up.
Sure. Well, so we run a day and overnight camps here in Sandpoint, as well as Coeur d'Alene and Spokane. So we're active throughout the Inland Northwest. That provides some level of complication for us because we've got two different state criteria that we're working with. With Sandpoint, our camps have actually begun. We've got kids just finished up a few minutes ago, actually, as of the time of this recording. So we did start our first camp. We run our camps down at Camp Stidwell off Mirror Lake down in Sagal. And for the most part, you know, we're able to pull it off. We definitely have some changes. Our staff, we made the decision that all staff are required to wear masks. That's above and beyond Idaho state criteria, but we felt like that was a responsible thing to do. We're recommending kids wear masks, but we're not requiring it. We're definitely practicing distancing, and so we're choosing activities where kids can be more spread out, and we're selecting games that don't involve so much touching. And, you know, 3 days, 4 days into this, things have gotten off to a good start. People are working together in a really good way. People are understanding. And it's different, you know, but we're able to still get out there and make the connection. With our Spokane camps, it's another question. They haven't moved on to phase 3 yet, so we're still questioning, gosh, are they even going to run or not? We anticipate they will. And we've got those scheduled for latter part of this month. The other thing I'll mention has been our enrollment, you know, is an interesting thing to look at, because typically we're enrolling for summer camps starting in January, February, and we have a nice steady enrollment all the way through June, July. So this year, as soon as COVID hit, you know, mid-March, enrollment tanked, and we had like two enrollments over a six-week period. And then once we got to early May, I think all the parents and especially the moms were like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do with my kids this summer? And so enrollment just skyrocketed for us. And our numbers now, we're actually better than they were last year at this time, which is totally shocking to me. But that was, it's been an interesting ride for sure on that front.
It sounds like it. Well, I have a comment and then a question. The comment is that I'm not surprised your enrollment isn't skyrocketing. Phil will remember last year we did summer camp KRFY morning shows, and we had so many camps that we had to do 2 weeks of camps. And as Phil checked into doing summer camps for this year, it was very difficult to find anyone who was open. We were lucky to have you all. So comment there. And then the question is, what about your curriculum? Has that had to change quite a bit, or are you just modifying?
Yeah, so not significantly. No, we've really just modified. I mean, one of the things, and Cammie, you were mentioning this earlier, is that because we run our programs, we're 100% outdoors. That's our commitment. So rain or shine, year round, snow, you know, sun, what have you, we're 100% outdoors. We have a saying that there's no such thing as bad weather, only inappropriate clothing, right? So we have made some small changes. Like I said, we're selecting activities that involve less touching, but for the most part, we're finding that, you know, we can adapt, we can make these changes and stick to most of our normal curriculum. It's not quite the same experience, you know. I mean, we run into issues like if I'm telling a story, you know, and I've got a mask on my face, people lose body language and facial subtleties and that kind of thing. But we're finding our way with it. We're making it work.
And Stidwell is a great facility, but I'm wondering too, because they have several covered pavilions, which might help with the rain, but then they have a wilderness area. Are the kids off in the wilderness area, or are they in the pavilions, or is it a mix?
Mostly out in the wilderness area. Yeah, absolutely. We've been there for, I don't know, 3-4 years. And, you know, that's a big part of it is of our mentoring approach, Phil, is crafting activities that really engage the kids' curiosity and the kids' natural passions, that really get them excited, right? That's always the question, is like, how do we make this so exciting for the kids? They just can't wait for the next activity. And it's that excitement that really draws them in to, you know, being able to handle the weather if it's raining or if it's a little cold or whatnot, and builds up that resiliency.
Sure. I've got a break in here. Bear with us, listeners, for our technology. An example of a day in the life at Camp Twin Eagle. I don't know enough about you to know exactly what kinds of programs are happening, and maybe for kids of a couple of age groups.
Sure. Absolutely, Julie. So with our day camps, we have themes, right? So our three big ones are either nature adventurers, wilderness survival, or nature ninjas. And these are, you know, labels, and it's a way of framing the camp that draws kiddos in. But yeah, a day in the life, we'll come together, you know, our camp size is about, we max out at about 25 kids per camp. So we'll come together in the morning, start off with a big morning circle where staff and the campers are all together. We'll do some movement inspired by the natural world. So maybe imitating animal movement. We'll sing songs, nature-based songs, give thanks. We always, that's one of our routines, is starting off with gratitude, which is a traditional teaching passed on to us from Indigenous elders. And then it's the inspiration for the day. And so after about an hour together, we'll sit down, do snack time. And then we're diving into the body of the day. Maybe the activity might be working on friction fire, where we're learning how to spin wood together with the bow drill or the hand drill to make fire by friction. Or maybe it's learning edible plants, maybe medicinal plants. Maybe it's learning camouflage. and how to become invisible in the world, or maybe learning the language of the birds, understanding what the birds are actually saying and how it's a big complex alarm system that is informing you at any given point of all the various predators and other creatures in the natural world, giving you a window into that. And again, through it all, it's really, that's the what we do, but just as important as the what is the how. And so we really pride ourselves in our instructors who really care about kids, who can really show up with big hearts, who themselves have made a strong connection with the natural world and really, you know, put their time in to really learn these skills. It's these skills we teach are, you know, it's an advanced pathway of connecting with nature that takes time. And it's, these are skills that most adults these days don't actually have. People don't know how to track wild animals or make fire by friction. These aren't commonly known skills. And so it takes some time. But yeah, after, we'll get into lunch after the main block, have some free time in the afternoon. And then we always wrap up our day with a big story time where we come back together as a big group and share maybe a traditional story or maybe a personal story of an adventure in the natural world.
Sounds great.
And I'm sure there's listeners right now going, how do I get my